WEBR, Fairfax Radio. You're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and on the Commons with me today is an old friend of the show and somebody that the whole country, every homeowner in the country would love to adopt, Representative Julio Urbina from Florida. Julio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sue. Appreciate being on your show like always.
I want to tell you something. You are America's sweetheart. I hear from people who say, you know, whenever I feel a little down, the one thing I do is I go in and I listen to an old show of Julio's because it always renews my faith and my hope. When things look the bleakest, I go to the archives and I listen to a Julio show. So that's the kind of effect you're having across the country, Julio.
Well, that's good, and I tell you what, I'm thankful for those that have had those nice words to say, but, you know, somebody has to do this. Somebody has to look out for the rights of these unit owners and property owners here, especially in the state of Florida, and I've just pride myself in being one of those trying to do my part to help these people out.
Well, the other thing that my listeners don't know is that when I called you the other day and asked you to come on, you said yes immediately. But what they don't know is that you're on a golf course watching Tiger Woods.
Yes, I am.
and you took time out to
let me tell you, it's nice to have Tiger Woods and all the golfers here, and it's a beautiful day in South Florida. But you know what? This is important. After they leave here today, this issue and these problems with condo and homeowners and co-ops will still exist. So this is a no-brainer for me to put the tournament off to the side and spend some time with you talking to people that are going to have to live with this problem for years. Hopefully not. So.
But the thing is, you're unique in that. Most people wouldn't have done that. And it's going above and beyond the call of duty, in my opinion.
Well, I thank you for those words, but, you know, I tell you what, I live, I actually have a motto for this year again. It's called Another Year, Another Battle, and that's what we're getting ready to start again through the legislative process. It starts next Tuesday in Tallahassee, Florida, our capital, so it'll be interesting, and I'm going to share a lot of the things that we are proposing again this year, and also some of the comments that I'm getting, both positive and negative, and some of the good things that have come out of what we did last year. But let me first start by telling you, Sue, thank you so much for this show and the time that you devote to this, because remember, we need a funnel so that people out there will understand that there really is people in government, lawmakers, that are trying to resolve what I call the improprieties or problems or whatever people want to call it, the major concerns that people have that live in these association environments. And here in the state of Florida, if you've ever had a chance to visit, especially where we're out here in South Florida, either Dade, Broward, or Palm Beach counties, you're going to see the boom of new development. And everything going up is either condominiums or what they call planned development projects, which come with a homeowner association attached to it. So that's where we're at.
Unfortunately, that's not unique to Florida. That seems to be taking over the country. And in a lot of jurisdictions, there are these association mandates because, you know, local governments have figured out it's a great way to collect taxes. And with the property values going up, the taxes are going through the roof. And they don't provide anything. You know, you're still left on to your own devices. And on top of that, you have to deal with a homeowners association, and not every state is lucky to have a Julio Urbina.
Well, thank you, and I got to tell you, it's not Julio Urbina. I got to tell you, there's a number of groups out there, individuals that are joining forces, people like John Bergman, you know, with the group that he represents, CCFJ, people like people like Eddie Hernandez, Humberto. I mean, I can just go on and on. There's a lot of people. Mr. Cromley, that helped get involved and created a whistleblower group to talk about these problems. You got to understand, it's all about unity. And what's happening here is it seemed like a lot of residents out there, or victims, as I like to call them, of these association abuses, for years were scattered and out there. There was a lot of apathy. Now, all of a sudden, everybody seems to be coming together because of some of those people who I've mentioned. that brought it to the forefront and brought it to our attention that they needed government behind them. And I got to tell you, they've made me very aware of the problems. They've invited me to come out and listen. And if you know, last year we had hearings throughout the state of Florida, and people spoke out very clearly about the problems, but they also offered some suggestions, concerns, and it was a battle up there in Tallahassee, and it will be again in our capital this year because, to be very honest with you, the law firms, again, that represent a lot of these boards, are gearing up again to tackle us or battle us this year and try to, as we say, kill every piece of legislation that we propose this year in Tallahassee. And this year, they're going as far as what I call doing their dog and pony shows, which is their preparing their association or the association board members of associations that they represent to actually march on what we consider our capital here in Tallahassee and come talk to the legislators and tell them that this needs to stop, that there's no need for any changes, that everything's just fine in the state of Florida, and that the problem is just a couple of bad apples or a couple of people in here that are just upset because they don't like the way that the boards are conducting business.
I get, I'm on a number of lists, and I get articles that are printed in the papers, 2, 3, 5, 7 a day from around the country. And for every person that speaks up, there are probably 10 or 20 or even 100 who are too afraid to go to the press. They'll call me and they'll talk to me and they'll tell me their problems, but they don't, they're afraid of retaliation. So this nonsense that the industry, the community association industry has been telling or trying people, have people believe that it's just an isolated incident or a handful of disgruntled homeowners is nonsense.
And by the way, what I call intimidation is happening here in the state of Florida. I mean, I have many cases that I have people come into my office. They come in with cases, and they ask me to please help them out. And what we do is, of course, besides referring them to the department that regulates the one side of it, there's a lot of issues out here that sometimes even involves criminal activity, and we refer that to the local law enforcement agencies, either the state attorney's office or local police department, so they can investigate it. So we got a lot of that going on here in the state of Florida. Since more and more people every day are stepping out and saying, I've had enough of this and I'm going to speak out against it, the intimidation is there. And a lot of times vandalism and everything else that goes along with it. So yeah, I know it's a reality. I live it every single day. And I guess it comes with the new title that I have now acquired as the condo representative of the state of Florida. And I got to tell you, that's a title that I wear with pride. I think it's long overdue that somebody step up to defend these people, and more importantly, defend them with the abuses that go on, and sometimes, you know, just criminal abuses that go on in these type of associations.
Before we go into some of these abuses, we're talking to Representative Julia Rabina from Florida. Julia, what probably most of my listeners don't know is that you are the first ever representative legislator who won the Hugs Award.
Yep.
And, yeah.
And that was quite an award.
And you want to tell us about it?
Well, I will tell you, the Hug Award, and I got to tell you, I've got that award sitting right in the middle of my office in the Capitol in Tallahassee. That is, to me, it's precious because that's the only award given to me by citizens in the state of Florida that appreciated the work that we did. You know, they didn't have money. They don't have big-time lobbyists. They don't have anybody else to push their voices except the power of the phone calls, the power of their email, and the power of uniting. And now having engaged in what I call battle with myself here, or working with me to battle these issues. And what it was is I was invited to Ocala and given this big Hugs Award, and it was basically it's like a rock statue of a young boy and a young girl hugging each other. And I guess it's happy times for them. And I think that's what everybody sees is the ray of hope and the affection and the hug that came from those two kids hugging each other. And that was a hug intended for for the work that I did. And I will tell you, again, it's also the heaviest award ever given in the history of government. So, but I was thrilled, and I thank everybody so much for that.
I've got one of those, and the same person, Monica Sadler, mailed me one, and I opened the door one day, and there, sitting outside, was this huge box, and it's 67 pounds. So
that's the one.
When Julio says it's the heaviest, that's what he means.
Well, I will tell you, for those who don't know, it took two people to put it in the trunk of the car, and so that is one heavy award. But again, I know they do it from the heart, and that was something that I treasure more than anything that can be given to me by any interested organization or any special interest per se, because I know these people do it from the heart.
Well, you know that your work is appreciated, and you know that they're thankful and they're grateful for it. So I think that's something that you can really be proud of.
Well, I will tell you again, before I go into explaining some of the things that that we are presenting this year, and then I'd like to talk about what happened last year.
Yes.
And our wonderful ombudsman that we've got on board now, and the battles that we've had to get them funded. I want to tell you, though, that as I've said, the wars are alive and well. As a matter of fact, I just received an email at 1:37 today here. It's actually 2:12 here, so less than the, you know, I guess it was probably less than a half hour ago I got it on my little Palm Pilot that sends me emails, and I'm reading this as I'm walking along the golf course, and this thing basically states, so you'll understand the kind of prejudices that we deal with here. This is funny, and if you'll permit me to read it, it says, Mr. Robina, you're not going to destroy condo and a condo association and homeowner associations. I am sick of your propositions. Most of my neighbors have reached the end of the patience rope concerning you people. Here we go. You people who have moved into South Florida over the last several years who couldn't care less about maintaining their property.
Oh, yes.
Even out in highways, our highways are covered with trash, and we will fight you. Basically, and just quickly said that she's sick and tired of living next to these disgusting human beings who have no regard for their neighbors, and all they do is terrorize their neighborhood. And she ends by threatening that, I hope, the people you are representing have good attorneys and plenty of money. Plan for litigation. And she ends by saying, by the way, I am a Republican. I am sorry you are too. Well,
nice lady.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm a very proud Republican. And if that's the type of Republicans we have living next to people, I guess I'm embarrassed to say that person is a Republican.
Tell you something from my own association. Mm-hmm. One of our homeowners received a violation notice because she had her window open. And don't you know you people are devaluing property by leaving your windows open? I mean,
yeah.
Come on. You know, so when
you... that's the sad part about this thing. You know, if they put the prejudice aside, we probably would have better neighborhoods. You know, and I feel sad for people that have these type of, you know, feelings bottled up inside of them. But it's not going to be good for them to continue living that way. But, you know, that's just some of the stuff that we deal with. But on that note, I'd like to get into, if I could, talking a little bit about what we're going to be proposing this year. And by the way, I will let you know that several, I guess, as we've said here in the past, we knew we were going to start something last year. There are other senators and other representatives this year that are filing condo and homeowner association friendly legislation to help out the victims in these associations. And it's nice to see, as I said, other elected officials both in the Florida House and in the Senate getting involved with their own pieces of legislation, which to me is very heartwarming to see that they're finally standing up to protect those who need our help.
They all want your hug award.
I don't doubt it.
We're talking to Representative Julio Robina, who's on the golf course watching Tiger Woods as he talks to us. Go ahead, Julio.
I'm going to go briefly into some of the recommendations for this year's legislation. What we're going to do, the first one is to also put what we call the homeowner associations under the division that regulates condominiums. Let me just be very clear for the records. That department is not the greatest, but it is the only department right now that, by the way, we're working on trying to clear up all the problems and probably reform the way that department deals with the complaints. But as you know, here currently in the state of Florida, the Department of Business and Professional Regulations only regulates condominium associations. What we're doing this year, we're trying to put the homeowner associations under the department so that they can be closely regulated also. So that's one of the requests on this proposition. The other thing that we're having this year is we're pushing to limit the waiving of audits by boards to no more than 2 years. Simply explained, down here people are kept in the dark because year after year after year, boards who really don't want the unit owners to know what they're doing with the money continue to waive the audits. They hide a lot of times behind the word that they don't want to make the expenditure, that they don't want to, you know, spend the money. But the bottom line, we've even been told by the state attorney's office that the number one thing they would need is at least an audit, at least every couple of years, to look at it to see if there's been any kind of fraudulent activities. So that's what we're doing. We're going to limit the waiving of the audits by the board to no more than 2 years.
But does that mean, but they still have to have an audit every year, right?
Well, by law here in the state of Florida, there has to be an audit done every year.
Okay.
But also part of the law allows the board to waive the audit if they feel it's really not, per se, necessary, or it's an expense that they really do not want to incur at the time. So we give them that option. What has happened is here, you know, for the good boards, unfortunately a lot of laws, and let me just state this right now, it's a shame that a lot of these laws are having to be tweaked and so forth. It's because you do have a number of boards, and when they abuse of this, this is where we need to set in some safety parameters. But the ones that are acting incorrectly, and I've got cases in here where money is being used for personal expenses, money's being used to redo board members' units and so forth. I mean, you think about it, it's happening down here in the state of Florida, and I'm sure it's happening all around the United States.
It is. What I mean, in Florida, if I suspected a board member to be skimming the money, is there some way that I could get the state involved and investigate?
Well, this is what I'm working on right now.
Okay.
It's been very difficult to get the state attorney's office and local law enforcement engaged, because simply stated, you know, what they normally do, people, the first step they take is they report this to the department that regulates it. And normally they look into it, and they're supposed to, here's the way it's set up, supposed to, if there's a finding of some type of discrepancy that may be of a criminal nature, they're supposed to funnel that down to the state attorney's office, which in turn is supposed to investigate these things. But the catch here is that a lot of times these cases are basically judged by the state attorney's office as being a civil matter. So what that means, these people have to go out and hire a personal attorney and litigate in a court against the actual association. That's number one. Or number two, a lot of times what the state attorney's office is doing, and we're working pilot projects down here in South Florida, is that they have to have the local authority, local police departments. And for those who are listening to the show, you may want to make a note of this. If you have anything of that nature that you think is of criminal nature, the first thing to do is to call your local police department, because they all should have detectives that deal with what they call economic crimes. And the Economic Crimes Bureau should be able to send somebody out, take your information, and be able to investigate. A lot of times the department that regulates will send them additional information that they may be able to use during their investigation. And then at that time, if the state attorney's office sees fit, they will get themselves involved in the investigation also. And that's how these things get investigated, for criminal nature, what they call cooking the books, you know, money that's being used incorrectly. It's fraud. Plain and simple, it's fraud.
Yeah. Oh,
and fraud is punishable, you know, by a felony, depending on the nature of the crime and what has been stolen. So they do have that opportunity to investigate it. So this is why we're trying to make sure that there is what we call a paper trail, at least, you know, every 2 years. The third one, going briefly through here, we want to mandate that these boards, depending on their operating budget, keep some type of reserves. In other words, what we're doing is we're trying to waive the right for them to always waive the reserves. We have a big problem down here, and the word is called special assessments. Special assessments drives everybody insane, especially in the state of Florida. You have a lot of retired people on very limited or set income, they would be fine if these boards would not vote to just completely, clear out the reserves in lieu of having to pay maybe another $5 or $10 a month, but always knowing that the money's there in case there is, and sooner or later, in every building, there's going to be work that's needed. And then they will not be hit directly at the pocket with these outrageous assessments that sometimes are two or three in a year. And this is one of the things that we have spoken about. And by the way, believe it or not, this is one of those where, although not popular among some of the law firms that represent the associations, they have also said that they consider it to be a pretty good idea in order to stop the problems with all the special assessments.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's an industry stat, but nationally across the country, our reserves are only about 60% funded.
That's correct.
And now I've always been come down very hard on this because I've always said, hey, you can't rely on special assessments, whether you're elderly and living on a fixed income or whether you're young and just starting out or you're, saving up to send your kids through college. It's not fair to have the power to go in and say, all right, you now owe us an additional $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000.
Correct.
Because we need the money. On the other hand, I've heard from people who've disliked, homeowner advocates, these are on the homeowner side, who said, I would much rather have a special assessment because I'm afraid of having that much money sitting around.
Here's why our proposal would be only a percentage of what they use as an operating budget during the course of the year. And the reason we're thinking this way is just because of that particular comment that you're hearing from people. You don't want to go to the point where you have too much money in those reserves because, unfortunately, at times it's tempting. It's temptation.
It leads to
improprieties. And again, we're going to leave that decision to the boards. We just basically are going to tell them, look, you can decide what type of operating budget that you have and how you set it, but you must keep the reserves at a certain level. We're going to look anywhere between 5 to 10% of a yearly operating budget. And by the way, you should remember that this whole legislation is what we call a work in progress. These are the things that we're proposing. These things are going to be amended and they're going to be tweaked. The percentages will be tweaked. I'm sure there'll be plenty of discussion as this legislation goes through committees. But at the end of the day, it's about making sure that there are some dollars always in that reserve fund so that they don't have to go back to those board members to the unit owners, whether you're in a homeowner association or whether you're in a condo association. And I tell you, the ones that call you and tell you that they would rather just be hit with a special assessment every time instead of trusting money in an account, well, I got to tell you, that's a minority of people that have that kind of money sitting around to do that.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree with you.
That's something that's pretty scary. Moving on quickly here, the other thing is we're going to try this again this year. We want to mandate education for all, in other words, educational training for all newly elected board members. Now, there's something that everybody finally seems to be agreeing on this year. Last year, they were not in favor of it. A lot of the law firms that represented the associations, they're in favor of it this year. Also,
who's going to do the training, Julio? Let me interrupt you there for a minute.
Sure, good.
Who's going to do the training? I mean, if CAI sits there and thinks, that's not a bad idea, we'll do the training.
Let's talk about CAI. CAI,
yeah,
as you know, I've questioned them before. According to the state, they claim that they were the only ones that basically put in for the bid. I'm very happy to report to you that as a result of a proposal to mandate education, I currently have about four or five different companies that are requesting to be able to be included in what they call the bid process if the state decides to do this, and we passed this part of the legislation to mandate education. So no longer will you just have CAI. You'll have a number of companies that will be offering the training. But you're right, Sue. Down here, we basically right now, we only have CAI.
Well, they, you know, I've watched them across the country, and they seem to just, you know, they're just insidious. They move in, they take over. It doesn't matter what government agency you're dealing with. It doesn't matter who or what. All of a sudden, you've got a CAI attorney sitting on your doorstep just being very nice, bearing gifts, you know. You know the old saying, don't you know,
I do.
Beware of Greeks bearing gifts, or beware of CAI bearing gifts, because the next thing you know is they're in there, they're running everything.
Well, remember, I'm going to put that responsibility on the back of the government to make sure that there's clear choices and that it's a competitive process on who will be around in order to train the newly elected board members.
Is there going to be any kind of oversight on this?
On the training? There'll have to be, because remember that they are paid I believe it's in a quarterly basis as they go through the training. They bill the state, and the state releases whatever has been allocated as far as the budget throughout the year. So, yes, there's oversight on any money that's expended to these particular organizations. Although in the past, I will tell you, that I've heard that a lot of times we're not really getting bang for our buck. But again, that's just a one-sided story. I have not heard anything to the contrary on that. So this is just some of the comments that we do hear at times. But technically, they have been the only ones that we've had in the state of Florida. One other thing that I'd like to report on is something else that we're proposing is to move the CAMs. And for those, you know, the CAMs, the community association managers, we want them to be directly regulated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulations Condo Division. Basically, what we're trying to do there is clarify existing law to give the division specific authority to discipline community association managers and refer them to the department for disciplinary action.
Oh,
now, let me tell you what's interesting about this. This was brought to me by none other than the CAMs themselves.
You're kidding.
This was brought to me. Let me repeat that again. There's a lot of this self-regulation going on here in the state of Florida, and because so many people have now jumped into this, I would call it business, of being the CAM, the CAMs have actually come to me with this particular proposal. And I guess what they're trying to do is weed out their own bad apples at times. So this is one of the things that they personally asked me to include in my legislation, and of course I graciously agreed to that.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back on the other side of this song with much more with Representative Julio Rabina, and we're going to talk about this when we come back, Julio. Okay, so hang on to that thought. WBR, Fairfax Radio, you're on the Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew. And from a sunny golf course in Florida, we have Representative Julio Rabina joining us today on the Commons. Julio,